Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is our brother, Professor Greg Stephen, Gregory Stevens. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, you know, I kind of like you.
Thank you. I like you.
I appreciate you.
I like it that you like me.
Yeah, good.
Good.
I'm just trying to think. Well, no, anyway.
Never mind.
And Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast. And right before the Southwest Believers Convention of this year, which was the first week of August, and the Lord began to talk to me about it, and about the fact that words are spiritual containers. And everybody since day one has spoken words.
Yes.
Ever since there have been human beings on this planet, all of them speak words. 99% of them are totally unaware that their words mean anything. I was one of those. Had I known, I would have never talked like I talked. But November the 2nd, 1962, about 8 o'clock in the evening, I had flown an executive with the Arkansas Louisiana Gas Company to Shreveport and back. Glory and I lived in Little Rock. And that evening, Gloria was at the stove preparing supper. She waited on for me to get back in. And anyway, I changed clothes and walked back in the kitchen, and I had put one shoe on, and the other. And all of a sudden, it just, and I heard words in my spirit. Kenneth, if you don't get right with me, you're going to a devil's hell, son. Words. And I said, I know it. I know it. What do I do now? I heard the words of my Sunday school teacher. Her name was Taggart. She's a little short woman. She was a widow woman. She wore black all the time, smiled all the time, little black straw hat and a little artificial flower in it. Every Sunday morning, she looked exactly the same. Hmm. We called her Old Lady Taggart. She called herself Old Lady Taggart. And so in Southern Baptist Sunday schools, it's like school, you know, they just promote you every year. So all of us boys said, you know, if you promote us out of Miss Taggart's class, we're not coming back. So she just promoted along with us. She's the one that said it, and I recognized her voice. Boys, you have to ask Jesus to come in your heart. So I did that. Now, the moment I did it, Gloria had just shortly said to me, I'm not going out in public with you anymore. I said, why? She said, your terrible mouth. I said, well, what did I say? I had a habit of that.
Yeah.
That moment that I said that, it felt like I could, I could physically feel it, Greg. Mm. My mouth felt like it had a square block in it. And for a few seconds, I couldn't close it. Once I closed my mouth, profanity was gone until this day.
Praise God. So her words, your spirit is a container, your soul is a container, your mind. Her words went into you. They had been there dormant.
They'd been there all those years.
It's like this. This is a lemon. This is real. That's what I appreciate about it. It always has real fruit, not
yes.
fake fruit. That's a container. Inside of this, if we were to cut it open, there's seeds in there.
Now, you know what? When you yell that up in front of me, my jaw started tightening up because it's sour.
Here, let's grab that.
Well, you know, see, my experience, all you had to do was show me that.
Right. And it started.
And it started.
So there are seeds in this. Mm-hmm. And each one of those has the capability of becoming a lemon tree. Who knows how many lemons will come off of each one of those trees? But it's in this container.
Yes,
right now. Dormant until somebody plants it. Somebody removes it and sows it. That's what the words are that are in us.
Oh, that's good,
you're the container. Your spirit man's the container. Your soulish man's the container. Until you release it by words of faith, then you've sown that.
Now, this is why names, you talked about it yesterday.
Yes.
The different names and God's names.
Yes. Reveal.
Now, his name, he said, I am the Lord that heals you. The person that stands up and says healing has passed away is unaware of the fact that he would have to change his name for it to ever pass away. And he said, I am the Lord and I change not.
Or he would have to pass away.
Yeah.
So what you're saying with your ignorance is really a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the Lord took me to task on this. About it came to me, why do you take my name in vain? Now, I'm a pastor. I used to. And then again, why do you take my name in vain? I do not GD anything anymore. I don't do that. That's not what I do. But see, I thought curse words was taking his name in vain. No, he said, who did I say that I am? I am. Are you in me? Yes. Am I in you? Yes. Then quit saying, I am sick.
Yes,
I'm not sick. Quit saying, I'm broke. I'm not broke. I have streets of gold. I sit on a sapphire throne.
You just, what?
But what I'm doing is I'm sowing into myself.
Now, back in the very, very, very beginning, when John and Kelly were very, very small, Gloria and I, in our praying over our children, that we would never, ever teach them to say, I cannot afford that. Never.
Hmm.
But to change that with, and this is the way we taught them, that if they had a desire for something, which they did, Kelly wanted this bicycle. I said, do you have a picture of it? Well, no. Well, I said, you get a picture of it, you come back and show it to me. Well, yeah, but Daddy, that thing cost... I said, I didn't ask you how much it cost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking about words here and what they contain. I said, Kelly, don't you dare say you don't have the money for that, and don't you say you can't afford it. Do you have faith? She said, yes, I do. Well, now, now you know what you have to do. She sat there for a minute, and she said, yes, I do. I said, what? She said, I have to take something of mine that I really do think a lot of and sow it. Now you're coming, girl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now what you have to do, you really need to be careful about this. Because when you teach your children this way, they may go into their toy box and get something you stood in line for and something that people were trying to jerk out of your hand you got it at Toys R Us, and it was under the tree. But the reason you need to say this, you need to realize this, that's her most precious seed.
Yes.
That's his most precious seed. You should be honored at that. Because now they're on their way to never being in debt because they know now how to use faith-filled words that bring prosperity. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You taught them that their yes is yes. Matthew.
There it is. Let's go to
Matthew
that.
Matthew 5.
I'm glad you reminded me of that, Greg. Matthew 12. Oh, dear Lord. Verse 34. But I say unto you, now this is red letters, right? Mm-hmm. So they win. I say, what do you say? I say. Mm-hmm. So here's a word. I say unto you, swear not at all. Well, I wish I'd have read that when I was younger. Neither by heaven, nor it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by thy head, because you cannot make your hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now, I want to say what he said. That neither shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But you can by faith.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when the Lord said, will you do this for me, live to be 120, I said, yes, I will. And I said, now, on this one condition, that you do your part, of course, I knew he would. I said, if you want a bald-headed preacher, fine. If you want a white-haired preacher, fine, that's fine. But my hair is not white now. Well, then over time, some gray started showing up. Well, I speak by faith to my hair all the time. And I walk up to my mirror of a morning, and I talk about it when I shampoo it every night. And I just started thanking God that I have no gray hair. So I began to speak to it. And I saw some gray coming in there. I said, no, you don't. Now, I know it's there, because if I let my beard grow, there's a bunch of white in my beard. Not all together, but it's there. But I go clean shaven all the time anyway, so that doesn't matter.
I'm just the opposite. When in my family, you're either balding or you turned white prematurely in my family. And I used to say all the time, I'm not going to be bald. I will turn white before it turns loose. I would do white before it let it turn loose. And I would always say that. I'm not going to let my hair turn loose. I'd rather it turn white than turn loose. Guess what happened?
Yeah, it did what you said.
And it did it early. Earlier than it probably should have. But that's what I said all the time. And I'm not bald. I have full head of hair.
And I noticed this, Greg. Words. Some men will look in the mirror and say it. Say something they shouldn't have said. I'm living all of my blankety-blank hair. Well, certainly you are. You cursed your hair. You cursed your head. Amen. Now, it's no disgrace to be bald. But when you're in the business that we are, mm-hmm. that words mean something. So now, in Mark 4, the sower sowed the word.
Yes.
Let's look over there. In fact,
verse 14,
this is where I began at Southwest. the sower sows the word. Now, I made this note right here in Jesus' teaching. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. 10 times he that has ears to hear. So words are worthless if you don't hear them. Or if you're sitting there arguing with it in your mind while somebody's teaching.
Right. Right.
Now that happened in Jesus' home. Here in the book of Mark, it says he was in the house, mm-hmm. not a house.
His house.
Where the four broke up the roof to let the paralyzed man, or actually, if you check that out, he'd had a stroke. And so he was, it's called the palsy, mm-hmm. but when you look up the word to translate it, it's paralyzed on one side. So he had a stroke. And Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven.
Right.
They got sidetracked by saying, they just thought it. This man blasphemes. Who can forgive sins but God? But Jesus perceived what they said. So he straightened them out. He said, which is easier to say? Mm-hmm. Your sins be forgiven, or rise, take up your bed, and walk. To prove that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, he turned and said to the man, take up your bed and go home. Isn't that amazing?
Those were the Pharisees. The Pharisees always challenged him by what he said.
By what he said.
Or what he didn't say.
To catch him in his words.
Always. And remember with Peter, they said, you're one of them. Not because he had a Galilean accent, maybe he did, but he started to sound like the master. See, he's starting to sound like Jesus. You're one of them. No, I know you. You're one of them. I can tell. By what? By the way he's saying.
By your word.
By saying things. Perfect example of this is over there in Mark with a woman who was healed of the issue of blood. I don't call her the woman with the issue of blood. She doesn't have it. She's the woman who was healed of it. I always ask myself when I study the scripture, who set the conditions? Mm-hmm. For something to happen. Peter walking on the water, Peter set the conditions. Mm-hmm. If that's you, knowing who he is, tell me to come out there. Jesus would have had to deny who he is and his ability to tell Peter to stay in the boat. He said, come on out. And then they get back in the boat and they're immediately in Capernaum. So here we are in Capernaum. If you tell me to come, I'll come out there. Matter of fact, that name Capernaum is wonderful. It's one of my favorite places. It's ruins today because Jesus cursed it.
Yes, he did.
Three cities he cursed, they're still ruins today. Capernaum is Capernaum is what it's the name in Hebrew. Capernaum. It means village of Nahum, the prophet.
I did not know that.
There are two prophets. It's very interesting. I think it's in John 7 where the Pharisees are questioning him. They said, there's no prophet from Galilee. No, there were two. If you'd study the Bible, there were two. Jonah, Nahum. Jonah is called to the Gentiles, so is Nahum, so is Jesus. It's not a coincidence his hometown, his ministry headquarters, are where the prophet Nahum was. Jonah prophesies to Nineveh. He doesn't want to do it. I know what you're going to do. You're going to save them. Because I know how you are, and I don't want you to do it. That'd be like us. I do not want to witness to Nancy Pelosi because you're going to save her, and I'll spend eternity with her, and I don't want to do that. But no, seriously, that's a Jonah spirit.
It is.
And so what happened? 100 years, then Nahum comes along and curses him, and Nineveh is destroyed. but it means comfort. So Jesus sets up his ministry in a place where a prophet before him had come to prophesy to the Gentiles. It's not a coincidence. I got off the track. Here we go. In Capernaum, this woman is there, and she says this in verse 28, where she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I'll be healed of the issue of blood. She set the condition for what was about to happen with her mouth, with her words. Now, she had heard of Jesus.
You know, I want to say something right here.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi is a strong Catholic.
Yes.
Very strong Catholic. And I've prayed for her for years. And prayed for the same way that I do Mr. Biden and other people. I mean, on both sides of the aisle.
That's right.
What the Spirit of God said through the Apostle Paul to pray.
Mm-hmm.
To open the eyes of their understanding. He said, pray this for all who are in authority.
Yes.
Open the eyes of their understanding that they may be flooded with light.
Mm-hmm.
And come to the knowledge of the truth that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified of in due time.
That's right. This is why God can trust you with other things, because you'll do.
And I want to say this to you. You can take that very prayer out of 1 Timothy chapter 2. You can take that and you can add kinfolk's name in there. And then you can go to where Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest, send laborers into the field. I have prayed that for President Biden. I have prayed that for Nancy Pelosi. I prayed that for Donald Trump.
You did it for Barack Obama?
I did. I prayed it for Barack Obama. I've prayed it for people over the years. And I just suddenly, and I have ridden Honda Goldwing motorcycles for years, and I got to thinking about a new one. I had a perfectly good one, but it just stayed in me and just stayed in me. Well, and then I saw one that already had the trike kit on it and everything. And it was in Springdale, Arkansas. Okay. So I talked it over with Gloria, and I had the money to do it. So now, but I got up there. And just the way I always did everything, I got on it. And all these young men around me, particularly one tall kid named Cody, I said, okay, boys, lay your hands on this thing. We're going to dedicate it to Jesus. So they're going to hear a dedication to Jesus, whether they ever heard one or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Greg, here was the thing. Cody came over there to me, and he said, my dad called and said he'd like to come down here and meet you, but I told him we didn't need a crowd down here. I said, what's the matter with you, boy? How far away is he? He said, well, it's just a little bit. I said, get him in here. He walked in there and he said, Copeland, I'm a Rhema graduate.
Praise God.
He said, I was there when you preached there.
Amen.
But he said, I need prayer from my heart. And some other things that they needed prayer for. And then I got out of there, and the Lord said, that's the reason I wanted you to go up there and get that motorcycle.
For that. Your steps are ordered. Amen.
And we're out of time.
Oh.
We'll be back in a minute.
Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. When God's word is in you, you can't help but have excellent results. Learn how you can produce only good things in your life with the audio teaching, Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results by Kenneth Copeland. He says the way to choose life is by attending to His Word and speaking faith-filled words. God's Word produces health, prosperity, peace, everything good you could ever need. It pleases Him to see you blessed, living in the abundance Jesus paid for. What's in your heart is what you'll see in your life. Learn to guard it with the Word of God. When the Word is in you, you're able to speak it by faith. Choose to align your mouth with Him and reprogram your heart from death to life. You are a child of God, so learn to do things His way, the blessing way. God's words received into your heart and spoken out your mouth are His creative force in the earth today. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's series entitled Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results. Available on MP3 disc at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
There are amazing truths come. Now, really, we haven't said anything that you don't already know. But when the Lord majors on a specific area of words, that they are containers. So then it's another insight into who He is, what He is, and what He's all about. Amen. I know you enjoyed it. I did. You did.
I did.
We did. So, I know you enjoyed it. Now, well, listen, we'll be back tomorrow, so you don't need to miss any of that. You know what to do where it says DVR, where it says record? Amen. You know, you can do that. But here are faith-filled, love-filled words. God loves you. We love you, and Jesus is Lord. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want you to be victorious in life. Go to kcm.org.uk for free ministry resources and teaching tools to help you grow in faith and live in the blessing of the Lord. Stay connected with us through our website and all of our social channels to help us keep you informed and up to date on ministry outreaches, upcoming events, and specials that are available to you.